This free program is paid for by the listeners of WBAI New York. If you're not already a member, think about joining us to help keep free speech alive.
Este y otros programas del Informativo Pacífica pueden ser escuchados o descargados en iPod o en forma tradicional en www.kpfk.org en los archivos de audio.
And with that rather abrupt ending, that was a rebroadcast of the evening news here on listener-supported, non-commercial WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City. And it is exactly midnight, which means that with any luck at all, it's time for this. Moorish. Orthodox Radio Crusade Anarchism for the Global City Radical Environmentalism for the Concrete Jungle Esoteric Explorations of the Secret History of Rebel Culture The Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade Every Tuesday at midnight after the news, only on listener-supported, non-commercial WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City. Be there. And you are, in fact, here. Now it is 1 minute after midnight here on listener-supported non-commercial WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City. And it is time for the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade. So I'm just vamping here while we figure out how to get the CD player to load because we only have one working CD player. Now, which song do I want to open with? I think I want to open with... I want to open with cut number 7. Let's hear cut number 7. Okay, you can play now.
Barbecue crawfish.
Well, that was so good that, you know, I think we should hear some more of it, don't you? Opening up with the sounds of Clarence Gatemouth Brown here on the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade. Listener-supported, non-commercial, WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City. With two songs about his beloved home state of Louisiana. First in a Zydeco groove, Louisiana Zydeco, followed by Born in Louisiana in more of a blues groove. And, well, you know, Gatemouth Brown was one of the victims of Hurricane Katrina, as many of our listeners will know. One of the musical legends of the New Orleans area, who was forced to leave his home in Slidell, which was a suburb, still is a suburb of New Orleans, with the flooding. and died of a heart attack visiting or staying with his relatives in exile in Texas, just a few days or a couple of weeks after, not even a week after he had to flee Katrina. I believe it was September 12th was his last night on Earth, Clarence Gapemouth Brown. And we've played some of his music before when we've been commemorating New Orleans and following the struggle there in the aftermath of Katrina. And that's what we're going to be doing again tonight. So we're returning to the wonderful, wonderful music of Gapemouth Brown. And maybe we'll be playing a little bit more of it later. But we do have, we're going to try to put through a telephone call to New Orleans and speak to one of the activists there who is on the front lines in the struggle, which perhaps some of our listeners have been aware of. I became aware of the more recent developments when I went to the opening party, the bash for the new issue of World War III Illustrated, which took place earlier this week at the Time's Up space on Houston Street. And the presentation there by our friend and comrade Seth Bachman included some slides of people standing in front of bulldozers in New Orleans to prevent their homes from being destroyed, to prevent public housing projects from being destroyed. And I was inspired by this presentation to get on the web and see what was going on, and wrote up an account for my own online web journal, World War IV Report. I guess me and the guys at World War III Illustrated have perhaps a slight difference of analysis as to whether we're in World War III or World War IV, but we'll talk about that some other time. And then, lo and behold, there was a front page story in the New York Times today, which, rather than focusing on the people trying to save their homes by putting their bodies on the line and standing in front of the bulldozers, instead it focused on the people who have left New Orleans behind, the people who have resigned themselves to being exiles from the city of their birth. The front page story is entitled, "With Regrets, New Orleans is Left Behind." And right there on the front page, I'll be reading my own report in a minute. But first, just to note what the New York Times is saying about this struggle. It's about the people who are in the diaspora, and they use that word, the New Orleans diaspora, which stretches across the country, but is concentrated in cities near the coast, like this one being Lake Charles, Louisiana, or Atlanta, or Baton Rouge, or Houston, places where the newcomers are still reaching for accommodation. The break came fairly recently, sometime between the New Orleans mayor's race in the spring of 2006, when thousands of displaced citizens voted absentee or drove in to cast a ballot, and the city election this fall, when thousands did not, resulting in a sharply diminished electorate and a white-majority city council. The decision was made. There was no going back. Life in New Orleans was over. Right there on the front page of the New York Times. And then if you keep reading on the inside text, they give the saga of one family who actually did go back and found that there was that their old house was gone, the neighborhood was empty, their friends were missing, the jobs had vanished, rents were high when you could find them. Murder had returned, with about 200 victims so far this year, even if many of their friends had not. And the city seemed frozen in its half-ruined state, strangely alien and unfamiliar. The current population remains stuck at somewhere between 200,000 and 280,000, far below the pre-hurricane level of 450,000. These exiles do not see the New Orleans that has picked itself up. Instead, they see the one that remains largely destroyed. So, this is what the New York Times puts on the front page. And they haven't not been particularly covering the struggle on the part of the people who have remained and chose to fight for their homes in New Orleans. They've been covering it a little bit, but they certainly haven't been giving it prominent front page coverage. It's been buried in the back pages and recorded, reported only marginally, at best, I would say. Okay, here's the report on what's been going on there, which I hobbled together from various sources on the internet on my Electronic Journal World War IV report. You can read along with me at home, dear listeners, WW4, that's Arabic numeral 4, report.com/node/4827. Blow against ethnic cleansing in New Orleans. And I should note that the sources which I used here did include the New York Times, one story from the New York Times, but also Associated Press, Houston Chronicle, and WDSU television in New Orleans. The Housing Authority of New Orleans, HANO, agreed December 14th to postpone demolition of three public housing projects pending a hearing before the City Council. Opponents of the demolition had filed suit contending the council's consent was required by the city charter. Opponents of the demolition, required by the city charter. Work crews were to start demolition over the weekend, that's this past weekend, in a plan to replace 4,500 public housing units with mixed-income, mixed-use, quote-unquote, development. Quote, we knew the law, HANO knew the law, maybe they forgot it, said civil rights lawyer Tracy Washington. Demolition at a fourth complex, B.W. Cooper, continued because the council had approved its demolition 4 years ago. And as we shall find out tonight, this is precisely the contentious issue. The one housing complex where they did not win an agreement to hold off demolition pending a hearing and vote by the city council, the B.W. Cooper, which B.W. Cooper project, which I am made to understand is known to local residents as Calio, which was its former name, the Calio project. So that's what we're going to be looking at tonight. But meanwhile, to continue, on November 1st, the council passed a resolution to support a congressional bill calling for one-for-one replacement of public housing units in New Orleans. The plan seen by HANO, the Housing Authority of New Orleans, and the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, HUD, calls for faster redevelopment and a reduction in the number of public housing units. HUD says that some 3,000 New Orleans public housing families remain scattered across the country, and social workers say that the number of homeless people in the area has doubled to about 12,000. Okay, so that's 3,000 families, not 3,000 individuals, but 3,000 families. So it's uncertain what the number of individuals is. Depends on the average size of the families. So on December 13th, the day before the demolition was staved off by the 11th-hour agreement with the Housing Authority. On December 13th, protesters gathered outside City Hall and a park opposite, where homeless people are living in dozens of small tents. Protesters chanted, "Stop the demolitions now." That same day, two were arrested, attempting to block demolition of the B.W. Cooper project once again. The two occupied one of the buildings scheduled to be bulldozed, draping two handmade banners from the side before police intervened. The banners read, "Reopen now" and "No demolition." Now, this was not reported in the New York Times. I got that from the Associated Press via the Houston Chronicle. So, people are, in fact, fighting back. I don't know if this is the same episode where people actually also stood in front of the bulldozers, but that also happened last week. So hopefully we'll be getting more of those details when we put through our phone call to New Orleans to one Sam Jackson, I believe a former resident of the Calio/BW Cooper housing project. So, just to keep going with a little bit more background here, and then we'll cut to a little bit more Clarence Gapemouth Brown and see if we can put through our call to the Crescent City. So, continuing back in time here, before the December 13th seems to have been the decisive day when there was the angry protest at City Hall, and people actually occupied two of the buildings which were to be bulldozed. A week before that, December 6th, there was a hearing at the City Council where police blocked the doors to the council chambers to keep former housing project residents out, as others chanted, "No demolition," outside. Civil rights attorney Bill Quigley, who was standing by the door to the council chambers, was arrested and received a citation for disturbing the peace. Quote, "We live in a system where if you cheer or chant in the city council, you get arrested," Quigley said. "But you can demolish 4,500 people's apartments, and everybody seems to go along with that. That's not going to happen," end quote. And that was from WDSU of New Orleans on December 6th. So, indeed, we hope that that is not going to happen. And, you know, the struggle is kind of going on in the shadows here. Has not been a lot of coverage of this struggle outside of the Crescent City itself. It's been spotty coverage in the national press at best, I would say. So we're going to see if we can remedy that here on the Morris Orthodox Radio Crusade tonight with a live interview on the scene with an activist on the front lines in New Orleans. Now, I'm going to give a station break now so we can play some more music and then cut straight to our interview. So I will say that it is 12:22 in the a.m. on listener-supported non-commercial WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City. This is the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade. My name is Bill Weinberg. I am flying solo tonight. Anne-Marie Hendrickson is perhaps back in radio hospital, but we hope she's feeling better and will join us once again on these airwaves soon. But I'll tell you what, we opened up with some stuff from what I believe was Clarence Gapemouth Brown's last album, entitled, quite presciently, Standing My Ground. So, let's see, we heard the song Born in Louisiana from the album Standing My Ground, both very appropriately entitled. By pure serendipity, I didn't even plan it that way, but and we guess Clarence Gapemouth Brown didn't plan it that way either. That his final album, I believe it was his final album. I'm not entirely sure on that. Certainly one of his final albums. Before he became a refugee from his beloved New Orleans and shortly died in exile, was entitled Standing My Ground. Okay, but now we're going to take the Wayback Machine here to, let's see, we're going to play a little something here from the old school Gapemouth Brown from Blues and Rhythm Series Classics. The chronological Gapemouth Brown, 1952 to 1954. Okay, which of these do we want to hear? Why don't we hear, let's see. Why don't we hear, which one of these did I want to hear? Oh, yeah, Dirty Work at the Crossroads. You can't go wrong with a title like that, can you? And there's certainly a lot of dirty work going on in New Orleans right now, and certainly the city stands at a crossroads. So another entirely appropriate title. Let's give this a listen, and hopefully when we come out of this, we'll be going live to New Orleans.
Dirty work at the crossroads. Lord, what is sad
Sam, are you there? Hello, Sam. You know, I think I lost him. I knew I was going to do this. I don't know what I did wrong. Oh, no. Let me try to call him back. What did I do wrong? You know, me and technology, we just don't get along. Tell you what, let's hear some more Gabe Mouth Brown. Okay, take him to the top. Sam, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Ah, now we got you. All right. Thank you, Ife. So, you're live from New Orleans.
Good luck for New Orleans?
No, I said you're live from New Orleans.
Oh, okay.
Welcome aboard to WBAI Radio in New York City.
Okay, sir. How you doing?
Pretty good. How's the weather down there tonight?
Well, we kind of mild. It's not in that cold. It's kind of warm.
Wish I was there. It's pretty cold up here tonight.
Hey, I was up there about a week ago in New York.
Oh, yeah?
With the Culture Project, you know?
Which project is that?
The Culture Project.
Uh-huh.
That's up there in New York, through Nazareth.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we had a little panel and a discussion up there last about a week.
Ah, very good.
Yes, sir.
About the struggle to save your homes in New Orleans?
Struggle to save our home in New Orleans and what our federal government doing to the people down here in New Orleans.
Right. Well, did you see the New York Times today by any chance? They actually put New Orleans on the front page.
Oh, wow. No, I didn't see the New York Times. Not today.
And it was a story about all the people who have given up on returning to New Orleans.
No, I don't think folks they gave up from turning to New Orleans. You know, I think we got folks coming back to New Orleans, which is not coming back to the places in New Orleans. They're coming back to Duncan Plaza, which is a homeless center for like over 12,000 homeless people.
Duncan Plaza.
Yes, sir. That's the Duncan Plaza down in New Orleans, right across the street from our mayor office, City Hall.
Ah, so that's the park where people are camping out.
Oh, definitely. And some of those folks is public housing residents, and some of those folks is here in the, been here in the city, and they're all working class citizens, too.
Mm-hmm. Now, how many folks would you say are camped out at Duncan Plaza now?
Well, the city stated at 12,000, but at Duncan Plaza, I think we got about maybe 1,000 to 1,500 people.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, and then we got folks all camped underneath the bridges, man, over here. We got about... They camped out in tents, and, hey, look, it'd be cold for the last couple of days, and old folks are sleeping out there in tents, man.
Right. I was just going to ask. I mean, winter's coming, and it doesn't get as cold down there as it gets up here, certainly, but it still gets pretty chilly in the winter.
Well, it'd be chilly down here. I mean, last couple of days we had some chills, you know, and we considered like in the 26 and 27 down here in New Orleans.
Wow.
Last couple of days.
So how are people managing camping out in that kind of weather?
Well, some folks down here, they got these little barbecue pits, man. They got buckets and coal, man, that they keep fire burning all night, you know. But it's not too good for the tents, you know.
Right. And my second question would be is, how are the authorities reacting to this? Are the police sort of just taking a hands-off attitude and letting people camp out?
Hey, look, those folks about to be the state about to demolish Duncan Plaza. They got a couple of buildings over there at Duncan Plaza, and them folks about to be folks out of their camp over there at Duncan Plaza. They're about to put a fence around there, and certainly all them homeless folks, they'll be heading to the Anita overpass, you know.
Okay, so there's some kind of redevelopment project which is slated for Duncan Plaza itself, for the park?
Well, they got a state bill to sit on site by the park, and the state and one of the government courthouses sitting on that site. So they want to demolish that section, and where the folks is sleeping in the park is right next to the building, you know? So evidently, they're going to be forced out Friday, so I assume Friday going to be their last day. And you don't have anywhere for those folks to go. You know, our shelter's closed down, you know.
This coming Friday is what they're saying. They're going to evict people from the park to begin demolition on these municipal buildings.
Yes, sir. It'll be this coming Friday. It'll be for the homeless folks. But for the public housing and start on the demolition, but they got to stop on the demolition, you know what I'm saying? The city council vote Thursday. And we hoping that they vote for the good. And then again, they probably vote for the bad, you know?
Okay, so the city council is going to vote this coming Thursday on the demolition of how many housing projects?
Well, it was 5,100 units. They're going to demolish majority of all the 5,100 units. 4,300 units. I mean, these are in good shape. I mean, I'm back in my unit back in B.W. Cooper, you know, and I'm a housing project resident, and they started tearing them down. So I don't know in the future where I'm going to be going in the next 2 or 3 years, and I'm a working-class city of New Orleans. You know, I pay taxes like everybody else.
Now, the B.W. Cooper project is the one that's also known as Calio. Have I got that right?
Yes, sir, Calio.
And how many years did you live there?
I stayed here for 27 years in the housing development.
That's quite a long time.
Yeah, I raised 5 kids out here. I sent 2 kids to college. I mean, you know, they don't have what the folks say that they got all bad folks in housing development. They got a lot of good folks back here, man. They got working class citizens, folks that hold 2 or 3 jobs back here that, as I know of, you know what I'm saying? That was way before Katrina, you know? Now, after Katrina, we don't have about 200 families in here.
In where?
In B.W. Cooper.
So there are still people living there.
Oh yeah, we've been back here since March. Not the whole development, but part of the development. You know, we've been back here, and they renovated these sides over here to make them livable, just well so they can do the rest of them to make them livable, besides demolishing them. You know.
Okay, so you're talking to me right now from within the Cooper project.
Talking from you right then. We're then in the Cuba project. I'm in my side of the unit, and matter of fact, I ain't too long got home from work, you know, and I'm sitting here looking at some of the things on the internet about our upcoming events over at the city council office.
All right, but this project is slated to be destroyed.
Yes, sir, but in the past, before Katrina, there was they wanted to demolish 12 buildings for Katrina. Okay, so evidently everything didn't work out for them to demolish the building before Katrina, but after Katrina gave them a good excuse to go on and demolish the places back in B.W. Cooper. We only had like 8 feet of water in some of the sections of the housing development, and where I am, I only had about 1 foot of water, you know, but I wasn't able to come back in my place right after Katrina because they fenced everything off, and our National Guard was here with guns, you know. Throw it off on the peoples and keep them out of the housing development, you know?
But in March of this year, you were able to come back.
March of this year, I was able to come back because I was displaced. I was in Baton Rouge. Then I went to Port Allen. After I left Port Allen, FEMA was able to give me a trailer back here because of my job, you know, where I work here in the city. And I stayed in the trailer for like about a year before I got this place back.
And how did you get it back? How were you able to get it back?
Well, we were able to get this place back because this is a resident-owned council, you know, that's managing the development back here, and they was able to fix up some of these apartments and get some of these folks back here, and that's how I get a chance to get back in my unit, my same unit that I was in before Katrina.
Uh-huh. And it didn't sustain too much damage.
No, I didn't get no damage in my place. Only thing, I stayed for the storm during the night. You know, during the night, I stood in my hallway and watched the storm out my window. Watched all the debris was flying around. People be saying, well, why did you stay home? Because these are bricks and mortar. These places, oh, it was a traditional building that people in the neighborhood flocked to when the storm come because it was bricks and mortar.
Right, right.
You know?
So when did you finally leave? You left after the storm?
I left after the water come here. The storm came that Monday, that Tuesday, that evening. Matter of fact, the sun come out. When the sun come out, we didn't have no idea we was going to get some water. The levee was going to breach.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened, I just happened to go over to check on some dogs I had. You know, I had security dogs. I had protecting this company over on the other side of the bridge on North Broad Street. And I seen water, man. I seen like 8 feet of water for miles and miles on the other side of the bridge. And I figured that I lost two animals. And so what I did, I went back over the bridge to go back to my residence, which is B.W. Cooper, and got back on the opposite side of the bridge, water coming all out the drain pipe. Folks out there kind of trying to clean the drains and, you know, to let the water disappear. But instead of the water disappearing, the water was coming back up out the drain. So hours later, we start seeing folks back in town come flopping back toward our way, heading to the Superdome, hollering, water, 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 and babies on their shoulder, fishermen caught, and man-made boats. And we figured that the water was coming towards us, so I grabbed my family, and we got in my vehicle, and we headed to Baton Rouge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was devastating to see those folks being, you know, treated like that. You see all the debris floating in the water. Every time you see dead bodies in the water, because during the day, early morning, they had bodies falling off of the interstates. They had bodies alongside the interstate that had been covered up, and then our police enforcement said, leave the bodies. We get the animals. Leave the body. We take the bodies later. You know, and, hey, look, they had people suffering here in the city right after the storm.
Certainly.
And I could witness that. I seen that with my own eyes, you know.
What happened to your dogs, if I can ask?
They died. Yeah. My dog got drowning. It was in eight feet of water. The fence was up 8 feet, and the water was so high over at the prison. You hear prison, the guys in the prison yelling, and people dying in the prison, man. They had on the first floor of the prison, they had prison in wheelchairs and carrying on, and some of them died in the prison. And by the time the prison guard got there, they got them prison out and stored them on the overpass bridge. And I mean, they were swimming to the bridge. They weren't actually walking. That's how high the water was. You know, they were taking them out by boats. It was ridiculous, man.
All right. Now, when you say the bridge, I'm just trying to get a sense of the geography here. This is the bridge over Lake Pontchartrain?
No, sir. This is one of the overpass bridge that divides two sections of the city that you go to one end to the other. It's called the Broad Bridge.
Mm-hmm. So it's over the Mississippi River then?
Yes, sir. It's on this side of the river. It's not the Mississippi River. It's just a little man-made bridge that you can travel over to get to the next part of town.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what's it going over? Is it going over water or it's going over land?
Well, it's going over land, sir. We got a ditch, like a canal. We got a canal that the bridge go over.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time you go back on the other side, the canal has filled up. That's how the water gets back on the other side of the bridge, because the canal has filled up from the 8 feet of water that was on the opposite side of the bridge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, usually the bridge is over land, but on that day the bridge was over water.
Yes, sir. It was over water during that day because our canals never hold that much of a water.
Right, you know? Right. Which canal is that?
Well, it's just a canal that runs along the Amtrak train station.
Mm-hmm.
Just an ordinary canal, just to bring water out the city into Lake Pontchartrain.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, nonetheless, you say that your actual your home in the B.W. Cooper project did not sustain that much damage.
Not sustained that much damage. I'm at home. I've been here since March. Me and my family back here, and we not had a really good normal life, but we had a pretty good decent life right after the storm living condition. You know what I'm saying? Me and my wife were able to go back to work. You know, all my kids, they done partially finished school, so basically me and my wife and the grandkids here.
In New Orleans.
In New Orleans.
Mm-hmm. And so when you got back to your home in March of 2007, what was it like? Was your apartment damaged, or was it pretty much okay?
No, sir. They had renovated. They had just came inside, put us a new paint job on the wall, put new floors down. You know, it just was. They just took all the furnishes out. It was just ordinary apartment, like I was about to rent again, but it was my own apartment.
Uh-huh. Okay. And the people who renovated it would have been Hano?
It was Hano. It was a resident council. People that renovated. This is Hanover.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so I'm a little bit confused about what the situation is now. Do you have to take that call?
What's the situation here now?
Yeah, what's the situation now? Because I'm hearing that the B.W. Cooper project is about to be demolished. I thought the demolition was about to begin imminently, and yet you seem to be, you and your family are living there. So where do things stand?
Well, what staying stands at now with the demolition of B.W. Cooper is the old building that was slated for demolition before Katrina. Okay, so the city council passed the contract. It was okay to demolish the part that was needed to be done before Katrina.
Right, 4 years ago.
4 years ago, okay. And the section that they are going to be demolished by KBK Enterprise, the contract been held up in the city council. So when Thursday with the city council go back to vote, they're going to vote again for KBK to demolish part of the section on B.W. Cooper. The other developments run by another private contractor. It's not KBK Enterprise.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so KBK Enterprise is the developer which runs the B.W. Cooper project?
Yes, sir. They're going to be doing a demolition. They're going to be doing a demolishing at B.W. Cooper. KBK Enterprise is a black-owned firm. I think it's out of Chicago. Got some tie with Alphonse Jackson, which is his corruption in housing that need to be paid attention to, you know, because some of the contract that he did awarded to some of the contractors, I think that he got a deal with him. And our federal government know he got a deal with him, and as well so our city government. So we looking into trying to investigate Alphonse Jackson, because of the things that he's doing to public housing after Katrina, which should have been done before Katrina.
Mm-hmm.
Not wanting a residence, you know, that the housing development going to be demolished. They didn't get no letters, they didn't get nothing, but Katrina came here, and they had all the willpower to do what they need to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but the New Orleans City Council had already voted before Katrina to destroy the B.W. Cooper project.
No, sir. He didn't vote before Katrina. Alphonse Jackson and the resident council voted to have the demolish pulled down. Hanno did this before Katrina.
Mm-hmm.
For them units that need to be torn down, that being torn down now. So that was awarded by Hanno. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm. Right, except some of the news accounts that I read. A news account said that demolition at the... There were three which were going to be demolished this week. And there was the fourth, B.W. Cooper, which was not a part of the deal, which halted the demolition of the other three because the city council had already voted to approve its demolition 4 years ago. Is that the case?
That is the case with B.W. Cooper, but CJP, St. Bernard, Lafitte, there will be, well, CJP got his contract last week to be demolished. St. Bernard is out of the district because St. Bernard could be developed, demolished anytime. But which go to ALCIO is taking control of coming in partnership with Columbia Development for St. Bernard. They're going to make some kind of agreement. They already have filed a lawsuit. AICIO trying to be partnership with them to get to with the residents, so the residents could be able to come back to the unit after AICIO come in contact with the lawsuit.
Mm-hmm.
So St. Bernard is out the jurisdiction, so like I said, it could be tore down tomorrow. But Lafitte, the preservation, historic preservation, and stop that demolition over there. So we're hoping that the city council don't overrule the historic preservation, because if they do, it just have to be demolished.
Historic preservation. So when was the Lafitte project built? It actually falls under some kind of historic preservation purview.
Back in the 50s.
Uh-huh.
50s, I mean, the 40s, early 50s.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So they took over that section, but B.W. Cooper and C.J. Pete is also in a historic district.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So B.W. Cooper and C.J. Pete was not watered by the historic preservation.
Mm-hmm. What's the historic district? What's the name of it?
The Tremere area.
Mm-hmm.
The Tremere area and the two other houses developed, B.W. Cooper and C.J. Pete, is in the Uptown area.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the city council was going to, there was an agreement between Hanno and the opposition that said that, well, the city council has got to vote before these projects can be destroyed. Is that the case?
He got to vote.
Right.
But our good buddy Hood official, Alphon Jackson, had thrown out some threat to the city council, and even to our mayor, saying if the city council don't vote to have these buildings demolished, that they would lose a lot of tax credits, $137 million. So what they're going to do, they're going to see that those develop being demolished if they want the tax credit. If they don't want the tax credit, then they don't need to vote to have the building demolished. So it's one out of a five that the city council will vote yes, just in order to collect the tax credit that the federal government got on the table now.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay, so all of this has come down since the agreement. HUD has actually started making threats about the city losing tax credits.
Yes, sir. Right after they awarded the contract last week,
mm-hmm.
and didn't award the contract for Lafitte, HUD himself, Alphon Jackson, which he's been all over television, throwing threats at our mayor and our city council. So if these city council do not vote, that means they're not going to accept that tax credit.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We in bad need of housing here. We are bad need of not just on a housing development. We are in bad need of residence houses outside of the development.
Okay, so bringing it back to B.W. Cooper, when are the bulldozers supposed to move on B.W. Cooper? In fact, I read that that the bulldozers were moving last week on B.W. Cooper, and people stood in front of the bulldozers.
Well, that was our folks, man. That was our organization, C3 Hands Off Iberville, People Hurricane Relief Fund. They started last week. They snuck them in here. They snuck the bulldozers in here without knowing. It's supposed to have been for the 15th. But the bulldozers came here on the 13th. And some of the neighbors in the housing development seen the kind of activity that was bringing on into the housing development. They contacted our organization, and we got folks quick as possible over there, quick as possible, to stop the bulldozers. So right now, we don't have any work going on over here at B.W. Cooper right now because everything is shut down to a halt.
Uh-huh. Okay, now shut down to a halt by what exactly? Because B.W. Cooper was not covered by the agreement which saved the other three, which I assume are St. Bernard, Lafitte, and C.J.P.?
Well, evidently we had a lot of protests going on in the city council, and our mayor they needed all that publicity that's going on around B.W. Cooper. So the city had to halt the demolition until they get a federal investigation about HUD or what, how did they award the contract, and what was the deal with HUD in order for to have B.W. Cooper being demolished so quick.
Okay.
I assume that the folks, the tax credit, if they don't start the demolition on time before December 31st, they will reward no tax credit. So they have to start the work before December 31st.
So this is all coming to a head right now.
It's coming to a head right now, which would do our people supposed to have been back in the places by December 34th, but it looked like it turned the other way. You know, so it all goes to the contractor now.
Okay, now when you say the contractor, you mean the folks who got the contract to do the demolition?
The folks that got the contract to do the demolition now, not KBK and B.W. Cooper. This is a different contract that was supposed to be done before Katrina.
Mm-hmm.
So those folks got their contract awarded to tear down those 12 buildings that was before Katrina.
Mm-hmm. At B.W. Cooper.
At B.W. Cooper.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now, how many buildings are there at B.W. Cooper?
Well, we got about maybe 60, 65 buildings.
Well, that's pretty big.
It's big.
How many stories each?
The three-story building.
Mm-hmm.
My apartment, I got a first floor, second floor, and a third floor.
And they all
three. It's a two-story building, but you got three floors in it. You know.
So your apartment is on which floor?
My apartment is. I got all three floors.
So it's like a multi-floor apartment.
Yes, sir.
So you got stairs,
yes,
and okay.
I got stairs on the inside of to get up to my third floor apartment.
Okay, great.
Bedrooms, you know.
All right, now, but here's the part that I'm not getting. The bulldozers were actually moving, and people actually blocked the bulldozers just last week at B.W. Cooper, and yet you're living there. So how does that work? How many people are actually living there now, and wouldn't the city try to evict them before the bulldozers actually moved? Or is it only certain buildings in the project which are slated to be demolished?
Well, that's what we're afraid of. We're afraid of if they do start some serious demolishing back here. We got about 250 families back here. What is they going to do with these 250 families if they start demolishing on this side? But they got a certain section that they're demolishing back here, what we call the old side and the new side of the project. So what they do, they're demolishing on the new side of the project. The new side of the project, which is building made like a square, like a box, just a square. The old side of the project is made with gable roof.
That's the old side.
That's the old side.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and that they're leaving intact for historical preservation purposes, or
that's what they're leaving intact for.
Because
they're the oldest building, and they got gable roof, and those building that would be. Was built after these buildings was, I assume, those are the buildings that's coming down.
Right. Okay, so you're in the old section, I assume.
I'm in the old section, yes, sir.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, so eventually, are they saying they're going to destroy the entire complex or just the new part?
Well, they're not going to destroy the entire complex because we talked to some people that's working out here. And they said that the section that I stay in, it'll be like about another 2 or 3 years before they demolish these sides.
Okay. So there's a reprieve of a couple of years for the old side.
Yes, sir.
Pending what? Pending investigations and...
Pending the investigation. First of all, they got to be get to go through the investigation before they can start back the demolishing any of these buildings.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, So the new side, which is the new side of the housing development, no folks on that side.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
All those folks was living there before Katrina. It's still placed out of that section of the housing development, or somewhere in Section 8 somewhere, you know, living like, you know, our elderly folks. We try to get our elderly folks back because they don't fix income and they can't afford a high rent down here.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm. And where are they now? Some of them are back.
Well, some of them back. Some of them passed away. Mm-hmm. Some of them take the stress. Some of our neighbors died, and some of the kids come back to the city and talked about their elderly moms and aunts and stuff passed away. Some of them back here in the city, but they're living in these high rents, and they're stressed out.
Right.
On fixed income.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, so there's around 250 families in the old part of the B.W. Cooper project.
Yes, sir. And they're about to renovate and allow about another 150 back.
Aha, uh-huh, into the old part of the project.
Into the old part of it.
Mm-hmm. And so how much of the project is the new part, which is slated to be destroyed? Would that be around half of it, more or less?
Well, it would be half, because the other half, where we got the 8 feet of water at Backertown, those apartments that got water all down in the lower section of the apartments.
Mm-hmm.
So those sections back there are going to be ripped apart because of the mold and the water damage, and they let it sit up for 2 years, you know what I'm saying? And it just got deteriorated.
And that's all in the new part of the project?
All the new part and half of the old part.
And half of the
back
old
of town. Part. Yes, sir, which has got 8 feet of water back of town.
Okay, so the parts of the old part of the project, which are water damaged, are also going to be destroyed.
Yes, sir.
Gotcha.
You might well say we're going to have half of the old side still up.
Okay. So then what will finally be remaining, if the demolition goes ahead, what will finally be remaining would be around a quarter of the total project. Am I getting that right?
Yes, sir. About a quarter of the whole project.
Mm-hmm. Including your apartment.
Yes, sir. But if they're doing some demolishing, it might take about 3 to 5 years to start redeveloping.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I should say that it is mere seconds of 1 o'clock in the morning here on listener-supported non-commercial WBAI Radio, 99.5 FM in New York City. My name is Bill Weinberg, and we are speaking with Sam Jackson, who is talking to us live from the B.W. Cooper housing project in New Orleans, known to local folks there as the Calio Project, I understand. They changed the name a few years back? Is that what happened?
Yeah, they changed the name down once the resident council took over.
Mm-hmm. Took over from who?
From Hanno.
Took over from Hanno. Uh-huh.
Yes, sir.
So when was that?
That was about maybe 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and what's the position of the resident council on the question of three-quarters of the project being demolished?
Well, they favor the whole demolish. You know, they're not about demolition. They see site that they need a decent place for folks to stay, which has been misused over the years by HUD before HUD took over. And now, since the resident council took over, they like new places like the St. Thomas. I don't know if you heard about the Hope 6 down in New Orleans, but Hope 6, which is the St. Thomas project, which has been developed into mixed-income neighborhood, and only got a handful of public housing residents in there.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of them is market rate. The rest of them is rental unit, but you can't afford it. You got to be making more than $20,000 to get one of those places in St. Thomas, which is River Garden. So all those poor folks that was living back there can't afford to get back there, because you have to be making at least $50,000 a year in order to get the place. And you call that mixed income housing?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the resident council is going along with the demolition plans then?
Yes, sir, going along with the demolition plan. Mm-hmm. We was at the city council here last week. Our president of B.W. Cooper, which is Darrell Williams, he for the demolition, and he like to see a change. But what about our folks out there that's still struggling? I mean, we have poor folks back here, not just only working class and elderly folks, you know?
All right, so what's your position? I mean, I could see that, you know, these buildings have been damaged. And there could be a case for clearing them out. What are you advocating?
Well, I'm gonna say it like this. Everybody's thinking that these bricks and mortar have been misused and really damaged by the flood that come back here. But actually, if folks would come here and see the housing development and see how sturdy these buildings is and see what the condition of the inside of these buildings is, okay, then they would soon say, well, we might as well just open up the housing development and let those folks come back home, because these places is not totally destroyed like folks say they are. I'm a living witness. I stay back here. I've been back here for 27 years. I walk this project front to back, and these buildings that I can take them and renovate them would have just probably a little less than of a money than her spending to demolish them.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, when you say that they aren't as badly damaged as all that, are you including the new section of the project as well?
I'm including both sections of the project. Mm-hmm. Only thing that was done by the wind damage from the storm. Wind damage blew out some of the windows over on the new side, but the old side stayed intact. Probably blew a couple of window shutters off the windows. The new side was in good tack. The windows, just some of the window panes have been broken, and hey, it's not a lot of money you can spend to redevelop these places, man. I mean, you know, these folks down here know that. And still in all, they tell folks all over the country and all over the world that these places is totally damaged. And we understand that they say crime-ridden, but nobody been living in housing development after Katrina, and we still had a high murder rate in and around these public housing. And we still do have a high murder rate. And no folks is not in public housing.
Mm-hmm. And, well, in addition to broken windows, there's also the mold, apparently.
Well, these buildings don't have much mold, because these buildings is plastering. The walls is plastering. You know, these walls is made of concrete. They made of cinder blocks and bricks. So, evidently, we don't have what they call that plastering, that sheetrock, that on these buildings that cause mold. These buildings have been aired out by the windows have been open in these buildings. You can see for yourself that each one of these apartments that you go to, probably the bottom part of the development, which store the lower part where folks stayed in, probably was damaged by water, probably caused a little molding. But mold did not eat up the walls on these types of walls in these housing developments.
Okay, so you're maintaining that the actual level of destruction and deterioration has been exaggerated.
Yes, sir. But I mean, look, it's Hanover mismanaged these places over the years. Hanover didn't come and renovate none of these places out of all these development. These places here was just maintenance by the residents council. I mean, they had maintenance men that works in these apartments when you need help, you know. But Hanover probably didn't fund the money to correct them right. So I blame Hanover for that. Hanover caused this deterioration of these buildings.
Mm-hmm.
Right after the storm, 2 years after the storm, folks was in here. Folks belonging was still inside the apartment, just like they left it when they left out of here with the water. Where we had a lot of looting come in, our National Guards, I was police officers. I mean, you know, that who was left here in the city that was causing the looting in some of the housing development. I mean, they actually broke into people's apartments. When I come back home right after the storm, I had been gone like about 2 months before I come back home to clean my apartment out before they put the fence around it. And I come to my apartment had been broken in, come through the back door. Broken in. I tried to secure it. So when the following week that I come back, my apartment was it was broken in again.
By who?
Well, we didn't have anybody here in the city. All the residents that was in all the housing development, outside housing development, had got displaced. So the only thing that we figured that was here was Hanover peoples.
Mm-hmm.
Hanover peoples, maintenance peoples. They come back here right after the storm to call themselves to clean up the housing development. You understand? Those folks that did the looting in these apartments, because they was the only one who had access to the building, they popped locks on doors, they broke windows to get in, and moved people's stuff out,
mm-hmm.
which is ridiculous.
So when you went back, what, 2 months after Katrina, you said, you went back to get your belongings. And yes, found, sir. And found your apartment had been broken into by the housing authority people.
Yes, sir.
What happened to your belongings?
Well, it had been stolen. I mean, I couldn't take anything out of here when I left him. Me and my family, the only thing we took out of here was, excuse me, the clothes on our back and some food and water.
Mm-hmm.
We locked up the house thinking we was going to be back the following week.
Right.
After we heard on the television that New Orleans had been flooded real, real bad. Nobody here in the city, no electricity here. You understand, the folks, they didn't allow us back here until 2 months later. That's when the mayor started opening up the city after all the water had been dispersed from the city. The fumes still was here. You know, I mean, it smelled some bad here in New Orleans during that time when I come back here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and after that, had to start putting up fences.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when the mayor opened up the building and allowed us to come back home, but we couldn't come back home because we were locked out of our place.
Okay, but that was after you had originally gone back to try to get your personal belongings, right?
It was after, yes, sir.
Right, so did you ever get your belongings back? I mean, you came back 2 months after the storm and found that your apartment had essentially, all of your belongings had been taken?
Yes, sir, but, well, I couldn't get my belongings out of it because we didn't have a storage here in the city. Everything had been flooded down. The stores had been flooded down. We couldn't get a rental unit. We couldn't get anything to move our furnishings out the place. So evidently, we just got fed up, me and my wife. We just said, well, look, we just leave everything. Just leave it. Just leave it. And after all is over with, then we'll replace stuff. Everything is in my house. It's been bought after the storm.
Right, but you said that the people from the housing authority had actually entered your apartment and seized your belongings. Have I got that right?
Yes, sir. But what they did when they got ready to renovate these apartments, they took everybody's furniture that was in their apartment and actually threw it in the trash dumpster.
Mm-hmm. All right, so you never got your belongings back?
I never got my belongings back from Hanno.
So when you came back to your apartment the second time, which was in March of this year, you essentially came back to an empty apartment.
I come back into an empty apartment. Everything was painted, new floors, new everything.
But all of your personal belongings, personal papers, effects, etc., clothes, everything which you had left behind was gone, and you never saw it again.
Everything left behind was gone because the looters came in here and looted the house, took everything apart, threw everything, ramshacked the house. When Hanno would come in here and renovate it, and he seen everything was ramshacked, threw it all over the place. They assumed that it was time for it to go because they had to renovate.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Wow.
I mean, it's been a tragedy, man. I mean, it's not just something that's being made up. This is something that actually happened.
Okay, so I'm trying to understand the current political juncture. There was a deal last Thursday where the housing authority and the activists who were demanding no demolition reached an agreement whereby the city council is going to have to vote, and they're going to vote this week, this coming Thursday, on the demolition of three projects, correct?
Yes, sir.
But your project, where you live, the BW Cooper, is not included in that deal. Have I got that right, too?
Yes, sir. You're right. You got that right, because, like I said, the demolition that's going on now is done by some other contract,
mm-hmm.
not done by KBK.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what's the earliest that the bulldozers could actually be moving on BW Cooper? You say they want to get it straightened out by the end of the year, and yet you say that there's also questions about historic preservation and so on. So how soon do you actually expect this to... Do you expect this to reach a final decision?
Well, sir, I'm going to say it like this. The bulldozer had already moved on B.W. Cooper. We assume that bulldozer moved on B.W. Cooper last week is part of the demolition. Now, the building that they stated that's going to be demolished in the past, it wasn't brought to the table that these specific building was the one that's going to be demolished in the past.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Mm.
So we assume that these buildings they're demolishing now is part of the demolition for B.W. Cooper. That's why we're doing some protesting around the no demolition to any building.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but they actually they have not yet succeeded in destroying any of the buildings at B.W. Cooper. At this point, they have not yet, right?
Well, we got three buildings torn down already.
Oh, they have. Oh, okay. And that that happened when?
That happened Wednesday of last week. Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, until they halted the demolition. And Saturday morning and Sunday morning, the demolition would halt.
Uh-huh. Okay, so they already did succeed in destroying three buildings.
Yes, sir.
Now, were those the so-called new buildings or the old buildings?
New buildings, sir.
All new buildings. Mm-hmm. Sir. Okay, and then they halted it. What was the actual reason that they halted? What was the given bureaucratic reason that they halted the demolition?
Well, like I said by Alphonse Jackson, through address to the city, to our mayor and our city council. And so the city council want to make sure everything specific about the demolition of B.W. Cooper. Okay, they want to know if these buildings are the buildings that have been supposed to be demolished before Katrina.
Uh-huh.
So everything is being halted by the city council. Even though that contractor was awarded, they put a stop to it unless the city council overruled the house committee over at City Hall that these demolition can go through with. And mm-hmm. that would be something that HUD and Alphonse Jackson would love to see.
Right, right. Okay, so the city council is going to vote this week on Thursday. About the demolition of all of the four, including B.W. Cooper.
Including B.W. Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and it's my understanding that the people who oppose demolition, the forces in New Orleans, the activist forces who oppose demolition, there's actually some division within their own ranks on the question of whether to support saving B.W. Cooper. Is that the case?
Well, yes, sir. They always did save, wants to save B.W. Cooper. We want to save all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the activist is for no demolition of all the housing, the big four. And
The big four being St. Bernard, Lafitte, CJP, and B.W. Cooper.
Yes, sir, that's the big four.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
You know, but right now, it is held up in the city council office right now. It's in their hand.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I will be there Thursday.
Okay, well, I'm sure that you will. But correct me if I'm wrong. It was my understanding that the original deal that was reached last Thursday, December 14th, where the housing authority agreed that they had to get city council approval before they could demolish, did not apply to B.W. Cooper. It only applied to the other three.
Only applied to the other three.
Right. Is that the case?
That's the case.
That is. Okay. So it was subsequent to that that the council agreed that they would have to vote on B.W. Cooper as well.
They're going to have to vote on B.W. Cooper as well because the demolition going on now, like I said, was in the past. And they couldn't get a vote on it in the past, so they finally got a vote on it this year because of Katrina.
Uh-huh. But I thought that the council had voted to destroy B.W. Cooper before Katrina.
Yes, sir. No. Council didn't have anything to do with it before Katrina.
Oh, yeah?
No. Council didn't have anything to do before Katrina. They were trying to put another whole six deal here in B.W. Cooper before Katrina. And so the residential council, the residence council, which is run B.W. Cooper, was going to demolish 12 buildings.
Mm-hmm.
The council didn't have anything to do with this.
Mm-hmm.
Only way the council have anything to do with it because KBK Enterprise wants to demolish the other half of B.W. Cooper and city council have to approve debt contractor for KBK to start demolishing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it was not the city council, but the project's resident council, which had agreed.
Sir.
Okay, I think the media account I read was wrong in that case.
Well, the media always wrong. The media never give us good coverage on anything that we do, anything we protest around, and anything that we do here in the city of New Orleans to save public housing. Our media down here in New Orleans don't give us good coverage.
Mm-hmm.
Our media would send negative thoughts all over the world and state to state, like everything is doing fine, the city council, but it's not the case. You have to be here to see what's going on.
Right. You know? Well, one would hope that the press would at least get their facts right. Even if it's not favorable, you'd hope they'd at least get their facts right.
Well, they probably need to get their facts right, but I mean...
Well, that's why we're interviewing you tonight here on WBAI, to try to get the record straight here. So you're going to... I assume that the city council chambers are going to be packed on Thursday.
Always will be. Well, we got a coalition of people. We got a lot of folks in and from out of town. We've been protesting all last week, trying to get our voices heard. And, city council don't want to see too much activity going on, but we got some action tomorrow morning at BW Cooper. We're trying to, keep it alive because our attorney needs to see some action, you know, in order to get things settled and proved, you know.
What do you mean by action?
Action, I mean protesting, and action mean we got some folks going back and forth to jail, you know. We had people went to jail Saturday over at St. Bernard for some action being taken over there. Basically, tomorrow we got folks, I hate to say it, but we're about to go to jail tomorrow again. I mean, because these folks mean that no devolution.
Okay, now you say they're going to go to jail again.
Every protest we had this week, somebody bounded or went to jail for some reason, you know, and that's just try to draw attention. Just let the folks know that, hey, look, we still suffering here. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows what's going on here in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so right now, the bulldozers aren't going to move until at least after the city council votes on Thursday. So
yes, sir.
If people get arrested, it's going to be, what, just for disorderly conduct or... whatever kind of thing the police decide to provoke?
Well, we got the bulldozer sitting over here at BW Cooper being monitored every morning by the workers. And they figure really that something be going on at night because they got construction lights out here at nighttime. Folks sleeping at nighttime. Nobody know what's going on at nighttime. Understand? So people watching that, you know, and to make sure that things don't happen. So, That's what the folks going to be there tomorrow for. Tomorrow, they might crank up the bulldozer. We don't know. You know, we just want to be prepared, you know, to whatever need to be done.
Mm-hmm. So, well, if they're going to crank up the bulldozer, that's going to be for or this agreement that the city council has got the vote on Thursday before they can demolish BW Cooper. That applies to the entire project or only to the old part of the project?
It's not for the entire project. It's only for the new side and the half of the old side.
Right. I understand that the old part, which was not severely damaged in the storm, is not threatened with being demolished. But the deal, which is holding off the demolition for the moment, that applies to the entire rest of the project.
Yes, sir. Entire rest of the project.
Okay, so you don't have any reasonable expectation that the bulldozers are going to move before the city council votes, do you?
Well, I don't know. They got to December 31st to do some start the demolition in order to collect the tax credit.
Right.
You know, who wants to wait to December 31st and then, you know, and December 31st come here and no demolition being done? Nobody be awarded tax credit.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but the city council is going to be voting on this question on December 20th, this coming Thursday.
This coming Thursday, they're going to be voting on it, and it's a 50-50 chance. Like I said, I mean, you know, because of all the threats and the tactics that Handel did to the city council, I think it's going to be a perfect vote. You know what I'm saying? And the demolition is going to start back next week.
Well, one of the... quite frightening items, which was in the New York Times story today, was that a lot of people who left New Orleans, they came back to vote during the first initial initial elections in, let's see, when would that have been? They would have...
The mayor election?
Exactly, in the mayoral race in 2006, right. They came back and they voted or they cast absentee ballots, whereas in the city council elections just this year, they did not. And that resulted in a white majority city council for the first time, I would imagine, in a long time in New Orleans, right?
That's definite. That's what it was all about. Our mayor, Ray Nagin, went around to state to solicit votes for the old folks to come back here for that election. Mm-hmm. And the old folks flocked back here for the election with no place to stay.
Mm-hmm.
Our mayor put together a city party, which is second line parades. We had thousands and thousands of displaced residents that was living here in New Orleans and in the public housing that voted for Ray Nagin to get him back in office. So when the city council vote come around, those displaced residents was removed from the voting roll.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we got a white majority of city council now.
See, well, once again, that's a distortion in the New York Times, because they didn't mention that they were removed from the voting roll. They just made it sound like people have accepted that they're not going back to New Orleans anymore, and they didn't bother to go back to vote.
Oh, no. That's not the point.
Mm-hmm.
We had over 100,000 voters in New Orleans. The majority of them was black African-American. That was displaced, they couldn't come back in and vote for the city council. So it wasn't a place that them folks didn't want to come back here. These homes is for the folks that are displaced and want to come back home. They can't come back home. When they do come back home, they're homeless.
Right.
Because they won't be able to come back to their complex.
And meanwhile, the same city council is going to be voting on the fate of their former homes.
On the fate of their former home, which is all-white council.
Not all-white. All-white?
Except one black guy.
Mm-hmm. Really? My goodness.
And he don't have much power.
Except one in New Orleans? That's unthinkable.
Hey, look, one black guy is sitting on city council, and he don't have much of a chance with a vote.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, the population of the city, according to the New York Times today, has only reached around 200,000, which is less than half of its pre-hurricane level.
That's right, 200,000. That's just how many back here in the city. And the city haven't grown since the 2000 been back here. If it had grown, did the homeless folks come back here and wasn't even much counted that they was part of the city economy? So that, in other words, they're sleeping in the park and on the bridges, in abandoned cars, in the abandoned buildings. I mean, they got folks like this, man. I mean, you see this every day. I drive to work and see folks just in one place that was there yesterday. It's something serious down here with our homeless folks. We don't have no mental health. We don't have no hospital, which was charity with the hospital that served the poor folks. They took away the charity hospital, send folks otherwhere that can't be treated by other hospitals because of lack of insurance. But charity was a state-owned hospital that poor folks can go see the doctor and be taken care of. So that is not here in the city no more.
That's been closed.
They closed.
Shut down entirely.
Shut down for the simple reason because they had water in the lower part of charity, which ruined the whole hospital. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And Tulane University is in the same section of charity. Evidently, they got the same amount of water as charity. And University Hospital is open and running perfectly.
Right.
So what you tell me that is a racism towards folks here in New Orleans. We still got a lot of that in New Orleans.
It's hard to believe how blatant it all is and how little coverage it's getting in the national media. So I'm really glad you were able to join us tonight and help get the word out. Sam Jackson, resident of the threatened B.W. Cooper housing project. So you're going to stay no matter what happens, I assume, right?
I'm not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. I'm not going anywhere until they do me like they did me after the storm, when they send in the government forces and folks to put guns on these folks and folks to folks out their apartments, ran them away, ran them out of here with guns and threats and carrying on. Our governor, Kathleen Blanco, gave word to the National Guard, if they appear in the city, to shoot to kill. And our National Guards has shot a lot of folks here in the city, especially on some of these Mississippi River bridges going across the East Bank that over in another parish, and the parish that was run by Jefferson Parish police officer threw guns at those folks on top of the bridge, keep them entering into their city. And it basically was a large amount of African Americans. Just think if you see about 200, 300, maybe 400, 500 people going across the Mississippi River Bridge. It's a sight to see. To come at the bottom and being shot, the police officer shooting in the air, telling them, go back across the bridge. And well, hell, they got water on this side of the bridge. Okay? What are those folks going to do? Those folks did not reach the other side to the east bank of the Mississippi River. Those folks back over here, threw in the Superdome, threw in the Convention Center, and was treated like animals by our National Guard, Louisiana National Guard, just because of our Governor Kathleen Blanco gave word to shoot to kill, our mayor gave words to shoot and kill. These poor black folks, no, they don't have anything. They didn't have no weapons or nothing. It was just like in slavery time here during Katrina.
So, what do you need from supporters in New York City and across the country? What's your message to people here in New York who are listening tonight?
We need to let these folks in New York and around our states to let people know that whatever that they see that on the media, that the media is not telling the truth about New Orleans, that we need to be known that New Orleans is still in bad shape before the storm. Especially our economy, our working economy, for the folks that work here, that was working here in restaurants and hotels and motels, it's not here to work no more. That industry is calling for people that was here before Katrina to come back home so they could feel their workforce.
Mm-hmm.
And we need folks in New York and anywhere else to let people know New Orleans is still underwater. Either we dry, but we still are underwater.
In a metaphorical sense.
Sir?
In a metaphorical sense, it's underwater.
Yes, sir. In a more reformed sense, we are still in water.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I say we're still in water, because the people here in New Orleans is still treated like those folks that was ran out of the city of New Orleans.
Please remember that this program is supported by the listener members of WBAI New York. If you like what you hear, please consider becoming a member of WBAI or renewing if you've already joined. Basic membership is $25, but we accept any amount. Help us keep free speech alive.